Welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating ecosystems you'll study at GCSE, the temperate deciduous woodland. Whether you're revising for AQA, EdExcel or OCR, this episode has got you covered. Grab your notes because we're going to make sure you walk into that exam hall feeling completely confident. So, let's start with the basics. What exactly is a deciduous woodland? The word deciduous comes from the Latin meaning to fall off, and that's your first memory hook right there. Deciduous trees shed their leaves in autumn and winter. Think of the classic British woodland, oak, ash, beech and birch trees, with bluebells carpeting the forest floor in spring. These woodlands are found in the temperate zone, roughly between 40 and 60 degrees north and south of the equator. In the UK, we have beautiful examples: the New Forest in Hampshire, Epping Forest in Essex, and the Forest of Dean in Gloucestershire. Now, let's talk about the climate, because this is absolutely fundamental. Examiners love to see you link the climate directly to the ecosystem's features. Deciduous woodlands experience a temperate maritime climate, mild temperatures, with averages ranging from about 3 degrees Celsius in winter to around 17 degrees Celsius in summer. Rainfall is moderate and spread throughout the year, typically between 500 and 1500 millimetres annually. There are four distinct seasons, and this seasonality is the key driver of everything that happens in this ecosystem. Remember that phrase, four distinct seasons, because it underpins every adaptation, every process, and every characteristic you need to know. Let's move on to the structure of the woodland. Think in layers, and a great way to remember them is the acronym CSHU. Canopy, shrub, herb, underground. The canopy layer is formed by the crowns of the tallest trees, like oak and beech, which can reach 20 to 30 metres. Below that is the shrub layer, younger trees and woody shrubs like hazel and holly. Then comes the herb layer, ferns, bluebells, nettles and other low-growing plants. And finally, the forest floor, where decomposers like fungi, bacteria and earthworms break down leaf litter and recycle nutrients. Each layer supports different species, creating incredible biodiversity. Now, this brings us to one of the most important concepts for your exam, the nutrient cycle. And specifically, you need to know the Gersmale model. Say that name out loud, Gersmale. You will be expected to use it. The Gersmale model shows how nutrients move between three stores: biomass, that's all the living material; litter, the dead organic matter on the forest floor; and soil, where nutrients are held ready for plant uptake. In a deciduous woodland, the biomass store is the largest because so much nutrient is locked up in the trees themselves. The litter store is medium-sized, they're significantly fall each autumn, and the soil store is also medium because decomposition is relatively fast in the warm, moist conditions of summer. Nutrients flow between these stores through fallout, when leaves fall from biomass to litter, decomposition, when microorganisms break litter down into the soil, and uptake, when plant roots absorb nutrients from the soil back into the biomass. External inputs come from precipitation and weathering of rocks. Losses occur through leaching and surface runoff. If you can draw and label this diagram accurately, you are guaranteed marks.
Right, let's talk about adaptations. And this is a topic that candidates often lose marks on by being too vague. Examiners want specific, detailed answers. Plants in deciduous woodlands have several key adaptations. First, broad, flat leaves. These maximise the surface area for photosynthesis during the long summer days when light is abundant. Second, deciduous leaf drop. Trees shed their leaves in autumn to conserve water and energy during the cold, dark winter months when photosynthesis would be inefficient. This is a crucial adaptation to the seasonal climate. Third, deep root systems. These anchor the tree and access water and nutrients from deeper in the soil profile. Fourth, spring ephemerals like bluebells. These plants complete their entire life cycle in early spring, before the canopy closes and blocks out the light. That's a brilliant adaptation to the competitive light environment. Animals have adapted too. Hedgehogs and dormice hibernate. They enter a state of reduced metabolic activity to survive the cold winter when food is scarce. Many bird species, like swallows and warblers, migrate south to warmer regions in winter, returning in spring to breed. Squirrels and jays practice food storage. They bury acorns and nuts in autumn to retrieve during winter. Deer grow thicker winter coats for insulation. The key point to make in your exam is always this. The adaptation is a direct response to the seasonal climate. Link the adaptation back to the season. That's what earns you the higher marks. Now let's consider the goods and services provided by deciduous woodlands. Timber is an obvious product. Oak and ash have been used in construction and furniture making for centuries. Fuel, firewood and charcoal production have been important since prehistoric times. Conservation, woodlands support extraordinary biodiversity, including rare species like dormice, nightingales and purple emperor butterflies. Recreation, millions of people visit woodlands each year for walking, cycling and nature watching, which supports local economies. Ecosystem services include carbon storage, water regulation and soil protection. Let's turn to threats. Deforestation is the most significant. Economic causes include timber extraction for commercial purposes. The UK has lost over 50% of its ancient woodland since 1930. Agricultural conversion has historically cleared vast areas of woodland for farmland. Urbanisation and population growth continue to put pressure on remaining woodland as housing and infrastructure expand. Climate change is an increasingly important threat. Rising temperatures are altering species distributions, with some species moving northward. Warmer winters may disrupt hibernation patterns and spring flowering times, causing what ecologists call phenological mismatch, where caterpillars hatch before the birds that eat them have arrived from migration. That's a great piece of specific knowledge to include in extended answers. And this brings us to sustainable management. And here, you absolutely must use a named example. Examiners will not award full marks without one. A brilliant case study is Epping Forest in Essex, managed by the City of London Corporation. Epping Forest covers around 2,400 hectares and uses a range of sustainable management techniques. Coppicing is one of the oldest. Trees are cut back to their base, encouraging multiple new shoots to grow, which creates a diverse woodland structure and supports species like dormice and butterflies. Selective felling removes individual trees rather than clear-cutting, maintaining woodland structure. Visitor management, including designated footpaths and information boards, reduces trampling damage to the forest floor. Replanting schemes use native species to restore woodland cover. The key message for your exam is that sustainable management balances the needs of people with the long-term health of the ecosystem.
Right, now let's shift to exam technique. This is where I can really help you pick up extra marks. First, command words. When you see describe, the examiner wants you to state what something is like, give features and characteristics. When you see explain, you need to give reasons. Use the word because or therefore to show causation. When you see assess or evaluate, you need to weigh up different points and reach a judgment. Don't just list, analyse. The most common mistake I see in geography answers is vagueness. Saying trees lose their leaves to survive winter gets you one mark. Saying deciduous trees shed their leaves in autumn to reduce water loss through transpiration and conserve energy during the cold, dark winter months when photosynthesis is inefficient gets you three marks. The detail matters. Always ask yourself, have I explained the how and the why? For any question on management, always name your example. Epping Forest, the New Forest, or the Forest of Dean. Pick one, know it well, and use it every time. Candidates who say, in a named woodland I have studied, without actually naming it, lose marks. Don't be that candidate. For the nutrient cycle, practice drawing the Jersmal diagram from memory. A well-labelled diagram can earn you marks and saves you writing time. Make sure you can label all three stores, all the transfers, and the inputs and outputs. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. Name the three stores in the Jersmal nutrient cycle. The answer is biomass, litter, and soil. Question 2.
What is the term for trees that shed their leaves seasonally? Deciduous. Question 3. Name two plant adaptations to the deciduous woodland environment. Broad flat leaves for photosynthesis and deciduous leaf drop to conserve water and energy in winter. Question 4. Name two animal adaptations. Hibernation, for example, hedgehogs, and migration, for example, swallows. Question 5. Name a specific managed deciduous woodland you could use as a case study. Epping Forest in Essex, managed by the City of London Corporation. Brilliant. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered the climate and structure of deciduous woodlands, the Jersmore nutrient cycle, plant and animal adaptations, goods and services, threats including deforestation and climate change, and sustainable management using Epping Forest as our named example. The big ideas to take away are seasonality drives everything in this ecosystem. The Jersmore model is your key diagram. Always link adaptations to the seasonal climate, and always name your example in management questions. You've got this. Keep revising. Keep practicing past paper questions. And remember, geography is all about making connections between the physical world and the human world. Good luck in your exams, and I'll see you in the next episode.